Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 241, 9 episodes away from the big 250.
Yeah, no kidding. And we have got ourselves one jam-packed, hurricane-filled event to put on coming up. So, well, I mean, tonight's show is a whirlwind at least.
It is a much safer whirlwind than the people are experiencing down in Florida right now. And by the way, we want to take a minute to remember all those folks that are going through this. We've got friends and family that have been, either they live there and were able to get out or hunkered down or whatever. So we keep checking the news, and you made a humorous comment that Anderson Cooper was still
dry.
That poor man, they showed him 100 times and he tried to make news happen. But it did eventually happen.
Yeah. So. Well, the more you kept seeing him, the
drier he got. Drier he was. And of course, if people don't listen to CNN, he is one of the journalist.
He's an anchor.
He's an anchor, yes.
Yes, he's not playing the role of anchor right now.
No, he had to hold on to something else to be anchored.
He was just very, very dry. Yeah, this is an exciting time for us because we're also experiencing the beginning of our 7th year at the Owl Creek Gazette.
We are.
And this October is not only doing that, October 14th, we've got the Owl Creek Gazette Indie Authors Book Festival going on from 1 to 4:30. And then on the same day, a jam-packed day for us, another whirlwind day, from 6 to 8:30, the Owl Creek Gazette Autumn Dinner, all at Patriots Park in the big building out there. And Sunday, October 22nd through November 19th, from 2 to 4 p.m., the Older Women's Memoir Writing Workshop, the OWL Writing Workshop, Older Women's Memoir. Yeah, so that's close enough. On Saturday, November 11th, from 4 to 6, Creekside with Don and Jan will celebrate the 250th episode. Yay! And that's our podcast celebration for our past guests. Sunday, November 12th, our 250th podcast will actually occur. And fellow travelers, that's what's coming up. That's what we've decided we're going to have in April of next year. Our annual April event will be called Fellow Travelers. Now,
right,
think about all the connotations that might invoke, and that's who's going to be there.
That's the theme for our Home Showsium Expo Exposium.
That's the only way to describe it.
We've tentatively made that date April the 14th, but there's a lot that has to go into that before we can officially announce that. So,
yeah, well, we got to get our taxes done the week before that, too. So,
yeah, and a lot of people get them done earlier. We could try that this year, Don. Just saying.
She's so funny.
Anyway, we're going to highlight all those things you just mentioned throughout tonight's episode. But we want to go ahead and recognize that today is September 10th, Grandparents' Day.
And a very special Grandparents' Day to our own Owl Creek Gazette grandparent extraordinaire, Gary Adolph.
That's right. He writes an Adventures in Grandparenting column. He is our favorite Owl Creek Gazette grandpa. And so anyway, that's always fun to read his heartwarming, touching, and humorous column. We always smile when we read Gary's stuff. So.
No doubt.
Anyway, before we move on, I wanted to take a minute to read something that I had written about my own grandparents. We published this in the Owl Creek Gazette quite some time ago, but it just seems pertinent to read it today. So, A Granddaughter's Memories.
Who would that be, yours?
Absolutely.
go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I don't have a granddaughter of my own, so I'm writing as a granddaughter. How's
okay,
that?
You're entitled.
Okay. My grandmother's. I have my Grandma Jones's name, high hips, and bad knees, and her ability, so I've been told, to stretch a meal for as many unexpected guests that just happened to walk through the door right at dinner time. She died when I was 3, but the house she left behind, the house she made a home, taught me much about the woman she was and the life she lived and loved. Yes, things have come to me from her by way of stories and genetics, real and substantial nonetheless. I have my Grandma Crawford's strong will, determination, and taste, much of which I acquired from actually knowing her. I was fortunate to have her in my life until I was 30. Over the years, she painted my fingernails, made clothes for me and my dolls, wrote me letters when I was at camp, made tiny pumpkin pies just for us kids on Thanksgiving, danced at my wedding, and called my firstborn son her little man. She saw me grow up, I saw her grow old, and we loved each other throughout the many stages of our lives. These were my grandmothers, talented, wise women, keeper of the family flame. I give thanks for their loving hearts and these unforgettable memories. And now my grandfather's. I got my dimples, my family legacy of publishing, and a pinching bug from Grandpa Jones. You see, Grandpa was co-owner and co-publisher of the Vandalia Union, a Vandalia, Illinois newspaper, for many years. He was also friends with a, quote, pinching bug, unquote. Actually, they were one and the same. You see, every time I sat on Grandpa's lap, that darn pinching bug would pinch me. I could even catch Grandpa in the act, see his fingers set to pinch, and he'd still deny that it was him. No, sir, he'd say, smiling. That's the pinching bug. He could make a mean batch of homemade ice cream and an oscillating fan that oscillated forever and was never quite the same after Grandma died. Grandpa Crawford was a tall, thin man. No, I unfortunately did not get the tall, thin gene in my genetic makeup. He loved westerns, politics, and all the many grandkids he had. He could debate with the best of them, sharp, quick, and opinionated. I remember many a family holiday dinner ending with some lively political debate. I love discussing politics to this day. He worried about the safety of my eyes when I got contact lenses, was proud of me when I was elected cheerleader, and washed dishes long before Women's Lib told him it was the right thing to do. These were my grandfathers, honorable men in a time when honor meant so much, capable men in their chosen careers, and loving men who have left me with a collection of memories I will always cherish.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, and I got through without crying. What do you know? It's probably because I read it several times before we went on the air.
Yeah, you greased that wheel up a little bit. You did.
So anyway.
But that's fun, and what an honor to have known them. And
exactly.
And on... You know, I didn't get to know my grandparents. I was very, very young when they passed, and I only have one picture of Grandma and Grandpa Stover sitting on an old red couch that they had in their living room. And I guess that was taken in the 1950s, and it was a color photograph that was done up in a 5x7. And that's the only photograph of them. And then we've got a picture of grandmother on mom's side, Florence Brennan. And it's a family portrait, and it's, of course, in black and white. So that's... That's all we have of that. And her husband, Frank, or Grandpa Frank, I have no photographs of him at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I have all those photographs that Mom and Dad took of Grandma and Grandpa since Mom and Dad were photographers. So I have them in later years where they had professional portraits done by Mom and Dad. And then, of course, I have some photographs when they were younger, too.
No, you're so much more rich than I.
Well, I don't know. I just was fortunate in that field. You have other things that your grandparents have left you, legacies. For instance, your Grandpa Stover, when all he built and designed in Centralia.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have other physical things that you can point to and say, that's a family legacy we have.
His name is on several brass plaques.
Maybe that too.
Yeah, maybe brass
tacks. Whatever that
too.
Is.
Whatever those things are.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the Centralia city engineer for many years, and got his name etched in brass in places all over town. You get Ollie Stover's name tattooed on your brass too, if you screwed something up. So that was Holly. He was evidently, they say that he was mistaken for Will Rogers many times when he'd walk into hotels in St. Louis. And he didn't deny the pleasure.
I was going to say, that's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah. Mr. Rogers will come right this way. And they'd open doors for him, and he'd say thank you and move on. So that's cool.
So anyway, happy Grandparents' Day to all the grandparents out there. You make our lives richer. It's wonderful to see our sons have relationships with our parents and over the years what they meant to them. And you can't be grandparents. They're just cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coming up tomorrow, of course, is the 16th anniversary of the bombing of the World Trade Center in New York. That occurred on the 11th of September 2001. And our hearts go out to all that perished that day.
Yeah, you know, and you and I have talked about this before. I think everybody, just like when John F. Kennedy died, if you're old enough to remember that, you know those landmarks in time of where you were and what you were doing. I never forget when 9/11 happened, and I was driving to Vandalia to go over Mom's house, and I used to go over there to help out with, you know, certain things.
Yeah, day-to-day activities, yeah.
And I heard on the radio, turned the radio on, and I got an eerie feeling because there was like nobody on the road. And the first thing I heard when I turned on the radio was everyone that is associated with
Scott Air Force Base,
return immediately to the base. And I went, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I looked around, and there was just no one on the road. And I listened, and they weren't telling anything. And I was just getting, you know, more nervous. And I thought to myself, Gabe was, our youngest son was in high school in Greenville. You were headed to Trenton to work. Zach was at school at SIUE.
Yeah.
Mom and my brother Jeff were in Vandalia, and I was on the road somewhere between Greenville and Vandalia. And I thought, I don't know what's happening, but I know that none of us are together. And, you know, you always envision if the world is coming to an end or there's a major crisis, at least you'll be with your family to comfort each other or help. And we were scattered to the winds.
Yeah. I had the cell phone that we had at the time.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's not like anyone carried everything to check on everybody at the minute's notice and drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So
it was a scary day.
It was. I remember getting to Vandalia, and my brother always went to see my mom in the mornings before work, and he was still there. And so I saw, when I pulled up, I saw his car there. So that was either another note of like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then I get in and I hear the news, and people were just, you know, everybody remembers how dumbfounded and mortified and scared and all those things we went through.
I remember getting to work in Trenton, and we didn't have a television at the place at IE Communications. Mm-hmm. And everybody was scrambling to find a TV and to get one hooked up and get some sort of an antenna up. I imagine that at a two-way radio place putting up an antenna. So we had that up pretty quickly. And from Trenton, you just work off, even just rabbit ears would work. And we were mostly glued to the television all day long. And I think we kind of bailed out early and got home to our families. So,
well, you know, and something else I remember, our oldest was in college, Zach. So that was the age that people would be drafted if mm-hmm. there was a draft or mm-hmm. if they were going to war. And none of these kids were the kids that had ever thought about going to war or thought about entering military service. And I remember Zach saying all of his friends were ready to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think that if you really are in danger, there no draft is needed. People will step up and take care of their own,
yeah,
and defend their families, defend their borders. And, of course, you know, as people discovered more and more about what happened, those kids were not as inclined to step up to join the military.
Well, I mean, but there's all sorts of things that went down that did not make sense about the
exactly.
bombing, and why did WTC-7 drop?
Exactly. So all those questions played a part of those kids saying, wait a minute. But the initial gut reaction always struck me as very positive in that it's not like they loved the military all of a sudden. It's that they would defend their families and their country. And then, you know, like I said, they backed away and reevaluated. But I think that's was an honest feeling that I thought was worth noting at the time and also again now. So anyway, everyone has their own opinions on 9/11 as far as what really happened, but it doesn't change the fact, like you said, that the people who lost their lives and their loved ones still suffer the consequences of that, as do the first responders who suffered the physical damages to their body.
And for as long as I live, I will never forget seeing somebody carrying an engine from that plane that hit the
Pentagon,
carrying it out on their shoulder. It was a small engine. It was small.
Which brought about more questions.
More questions, right. And you never saw that tape ever
again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, a passenger plane would have had a wingspan that was much greater than the impact zone.
Mm-hmm.
Questions like that always, and it doesn't bring up conspiracy. It brings up honest questions.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, what do you do? Anywho.
So, on a lighter note, now let's move on to all the cool things we've got going on.
Beginning our seventh year in publishing is one of those things that you're talking about, I'm sure, right?
It's very cool. Well, and you can't, you know, as we jump into putting this October issue out, you're bound to look back and think, you know, where did we start? And we started with, Don, we were 12 pages. The Owl Creek Gazette was 12 pages.
We're babies.
Mm-hmm. With a concept and an idea. And it's grown from that time,
and
of course.
And, you know, we had all sorts of plans that have not come up yet, because those are things that we can do at any time we want to. Like, we need a wise old owl.
Well, and let me explain that, too. When you say we need a wise old owl, the first issue of the magazine, mm-hmm. I had written The Roots of the Owl Creek Gazette. And so, in looking back, we said, well, why don't I read that this time, since I'm in reading mode? Maybe with all the indie author things we've got going on, we decided it was a good time, good episode to read on. But this gives people an idea of where we started. If they didn't pick up the first issue, they may not know.
Yeah.
And like you pointed out, where we have succeeded, where we still have goals we haven't reached, and how that path doesn't always take you down the same path you plan. But anyway, this was the article I wrote that was featured in the very first issue, October 2011, The Roots of the Owl Creek Gazette. Welcome to the Owl Creek Gazette, a new regional magazine dedicated to celebrating and enhancing self-reliant living in and around South Central Illinois. For years, my husband Don and I have been inspired by national publications with a self-reliant theme, such as Backwoods Home Magazine and Mother Earth News. And now we'd like to offer up a regional publication in that same vein. As some of you may recall, we've been involved with other publications in the past, most notably the Senior Review, a magazine for senior citizens, which I co-edited with my mother, Hazel Jones. Don was involved in that endeavor as well, though making a more behind-the-scenes approach then, with the exception of writing his popular Mr. Fix-It column. You were fixing stuff then, weren't you, Don?
I was fixing the computers, too. Yeah.
And anything else that broke.
Right.
He served as the publication's tech guy and burned the late-night oil with us as we put the finishing touches on each issue before going to press. Now, with this new publication, we're planning to broaden the focus of our writing to include many aspects of self-reliant living, in part due to the changing economy, which has many people rethinking their own current and future actions, and in part because we've always had an independent streak that manifests itself in almost all of our undertakings. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
For those of you familiar with Backwoods Home Magazine and its founder, Dave Duffy, you'll know that Dave was inspired to begin his publication as a direct result of his personal efforts and experiences, which came from building his own off-the-grid, under $10,000 home back in the day. Dave tells his readers that he had originally hoped to write a book outlining the process and offering valuable tips to other would-be off-the-gridders, but at the time, publishers were not jumping on the chance to publish such a book. However, being the self-reliant individual Dave is, starting his own magazine to get his message out was a perfect fit, and now Backwoods Home Publishers publishes and sells all kinds of great books on self-reliance. We'll talk a little bit about that later, how that's changed too, Don.
Yeah.
Similarly, Don and I have our own inspiration, a little plot of land We own and fondly refer to as Owl Creek. We have
the Crick.
Yeah. We have an old 70s motorhome. We park there during camping season and have high hopes of one day building a home on the property. But for now, it serves as our special little getaway, which we happily shared with family and friends. There's always a soft breeze whispering through the trees, the call of a neighborly owl or two, and inspiring nightly views of the stars mixed with occasional surprises from nature, like waking up to a scene of wild turkeys walking through the yard. Until the time we actually do build, we're happy to while away the hours at Owl Creek in between the inevitable demands, responsibility and commitments life brings with it. We enjoy the dreaming and planning of future possibilities and look forward to bringing you, our readers, along for the ride. Now for a bit more about those inspirations from the past that have led us here. Besides Backwoods Home, I mentioned Mother Earth News. I can still see my dad reading the publication from cover to cover, processing the content for consideration and later use. If memory serves me correctly, it was my brother Jeff who introduced our family to the publication. In 1979, Mother Earth News announced it was offering a series of summer seminars on its new 600-plus acre research property in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Mom, Dad, and I decided this was something we didn't want to miss out on. We loaded up the car and headed out. Mom and I participated in the workshops. Dad hovered around the electric car and visited with lots of like-minded folks. And in spite of the rain, which left the grounds a muddy mess, it was an event worth experiencing. And not to go unmentioned was a special item we purchased on that same trip, my wedding dress. Don and I were married in the fall of that same year. Another publication that has provided us with information, entertainment, and inspiration over the years is the Brown County Democrat, the local newspaper of one of our favorite vacation spots, Brown County, Indiana. The Democrat features a much-beloved, iconic character named Abe Martin, which offers up sage advice in a Mark Twain-esque fashion. We're hoping to eventually have our own version of Abe Martin, courtesy of a wise old owl. And that's the wise old owl you were talking about, Don.
Yeah.
Who will provide similar bits of quirky wisdom here on the pages of the Owl Creek Gazette. Also,
if we can remember how to say him.
Also worth mentioning is a publication we were recently introduced to while visiting our children in California, the Idlewild Town Crier. The small town newspaper sports a delightfully wonderful feel of community, which is another aspect we hope to incorporate here as well. So, good readers, grounded in these roots and with an eye toward the future, we welcome you to the Owl Creek Gazette and look forward to sharing in and with the self-reliant community of South Central Illinois.
Very good.
October 2011. That's what kicked us off.
No kidding. And that, yeah, that was almost 6 years ago. Well, it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, because we're starting in our seventh year.
This week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So things that we still haven't built a house out at Owl Creek.
The old camper's dilapidated to the point where
it died.
It's being replaced by Gertrude.
That's right. And every year we kind of reassess. So that's where we began. We're still on the similar path, but we've grown in some ways, and we'll just keep doing what we do.
And Backwoods Home is out of print.
Oh, yes. That's another thing.
Well, it's not out of print. It's gone digital.
Yes, it's all digital. Yeah. No hard copy to put your hands on.
And you can get it on Kindle, but mm-hmm. That's not in our cards yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. We're not going to do that. We love being able to hold our work in your hand. We
yeah.
love that you are able to hold our work in your hand. So
so now that is where we came from. Now let's hop on over and check out where we're going.
You're talking about our indie book festival that's
I
coming
am.
Up and our autumn dinner that's coming up. All on the same day. That's mm-hmm. the whirlwind day that we have, that will wind up being a hurricane of a day if we're not careful. Authors that are currently registered to join us at the OCG Indie Author Book Festival
on Saturday, October
14th mm-hmm. are Shane Bowen, Libby Grigg, Lenora Henson, Charles Hudson, Jacqueline Kelsey, John Smith, Lee Savage, Christine Schultz, Charles Schwind, and Michael Ringering.
Right. And they talk about a wide array of writers and interests, the genre. They do everything from historical fiction to sci-fi to self-discovery books, short stories, children's books, And next week on Creekside with Don and Jan, we'll be featuring all of them as we go through and give more specifics. Plus, you can find out a whole lot about these authors in the current and past two or three issues of the Owl Creek Gazette, too.
As we were building that cadre of authors, we were writing about them. That's right. So we have that. And not only that, on that day, you can come out and purchase those independent authors' books.
They will be selling, signing, and I'm hoping they'll do selfies, too.
Right. Oh, yeah. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Our autumn dinner is going to also follow on the heels an hour and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be indoors at the Patriots Park Meeting Room around Route 140 and 127 here in Greenville. The dinner theme is Lessons from the Great Depression as seen through the Waltons TV series and the creator of the Waltons, Earl Hamner Jr. The dinner menu will include recipes from the cookbook, Mary Ellen's Recipes, which was compiled by Earl Hamner's sister, Marion Hamner Hawks, the original Mary Ellen Walton.
And I didn't come by that book easily. I tell you, I Googled and thought there's got to be some cookbook out there that really features the Hamner-Walton, you know, feel of the table. And it's out of print, but I found it, you know, just by the luck of the search.
And the seat of your pants.
Mm-hmm.
The first course for dinner will be peanut soup or potato soup or both, actually, because we might have some people allergic to peanuts. We're mm-hmm. going to make sure that there's two selections. And the main course will be pinto bean casserole, a vegetable medley, and meatloaf. The dessert course will be applesauce cake. And the dinner program will be The Great Depression as seen through the eyes of the Waltons and the Hamner families by public speaker, research librarian, and the director of the Breeze Public Library, Angie Shute.
And Roxanne Bear will be the head chef again this year.
Yeah. $20 are what the cost of the tickets are, and children are $10. A child is described as someone 12 and under.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tickets are on sale via the OCG website and at owlcreekgazette.com. That's where you can get them. And tickets are also available for sale right here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, Terra Mater in Greenville, and the Sunshine House Health Food Store in Vandalia, Nudge Coffee Roasters in Highland and in Breeze, and the Breeze Public Library. And by the way, Nudge has got a new place in Breeze.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the old Breeze City Hall.
And I wanted to tell people, Terra Mater Botanicals has been closed for the last few days. Owner Roxanne is on a much deserved vacation. So, you know, if you need those tickets and you just, you know, can't get to Roxanne's shop and you live in Greenville, Adam Brothers is the place to go.
That's right.
We've still got to get them over to the Breeze Library,
mm-hmm.
and we still got to get the tickets over to the Sunshine House Health Food Store. So all that happens like tomorrow morning or Tuesday.
And if we don't, we are in desperate trouble. So that is that, as they say. We have something, too, that we want to do, and that's going to be a giveaway for the dinner. And we mentioned last week that we were going to draw a name out of a hat for who's going to be the lucky winner of the dinner ticket. So, mm-hmm. drum roll, please. Oh, I had a bigger drum. Okay. Corey Elam.
Yay! Yay! Corey, congratulations.
Yeah, no kidding.
Corey has been one of those guys who has attended so many of our events, and he's entered, I think, every contest we've had. I don't think he's ever won before. So this is a first, Corey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other thing is that we've got two more tickets to give away.
But different kinds of tickets.
But a different type of ticket.
Right.
These are tickets to another event that's happening here in September 23rd and 24th down in Festus, Missouri.
Now, let's say that the reason we're giving away events last week and this week, we are having a Creekside countdown to our big 250th episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. So there's different things you have to do every week in order to be entered in the contest. And the people who followed the instructions were the ones that got entered in to this contest this
Corey
week.
Corey followed instructions.
Corey did, and so did several other people, of course. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Corey was the winner of the dinner ticket. Now we've got these tickets, and you'll have to do some things that we'll tell you about in just a second.
Right. Now, many readers, many listeners will know George Ports. He's a Illinois State Fiddle Champion, and he's got some pretty darn good fiddle credentials as they go. They conduct the Festus, Missouri Traditional Music Festival and Craft Show, and that's September 23rd and 24th from noon to 6 p.m. both days. And it's the 28th annual event that they've done this. So George is putting this on, and we absolutely have two tickets in our hot little hand, and we
courtesy of George,
mm-hmm. and we are giving them away in the following manner. This is all you've got to do is to go to owlcreekradio.podomatic.com and leave a comment on this episode that you want the tickets. And we will draw names from the hat. It's a very similar hat to the one we just had, but we will randomly draw those names of those people who say, I want the tickets.
Enter me in the contest.
Or enter me in the contest.
You could even say, I love Creekside with Don and Jan. If you just, you know,
just leave a comment right at the website, owlcreekradio.podomatic.com. On this particular episode, it's impossible to miss how to do that and where to do it. I've tried it on my Android phone. I know it works. I've tried it on the website. I know it works. I've tried it through a computer. I know it works. No excuses. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just leave a comment.
Right.
Now.
And I want to say to folks, if they want to know more about this event, George has an ad and we have a little write-up about it on the Homegrown Music page, too.
So
they can go to owlcreekgazette.com and read the September issue and find out how much they yearn to go when they find out all the good things that are happening there.
Yeah. So I think we are pretty much out of time here, are we not?
I think we pretty much are. I just wanted to say Sunday, October 22nd through Sunday, November 19th, 2 to 4 p.m., the Older Women's Memoir Writing Workshop is coming up. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not that you have to stay here from the 22nd to the 19th.
Don't need to make reservations at a hotel.
It's just on Sundays from 2 to 4 at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House. I'm going to be doing a workshop on how you write your life story. You don't have to be a writer. You don't have to feel confident in your writing abilities. This workshop program is set up to walk you through what is important to you and help you get that down on pen and paper. And that way you can preserve your legacy for your family. Speaking of Grandparents' Day, it's a perfect opportunity to think about that. You can go to the website, learn more. It's also information in the magazine. And you can purchase and register for that workshop. It's only $50 for five different Sundays. And you get 2 hours every Sunday of really sitting down and putting a collection of your work together.
It's
so
a how-to.
It really is.
It's a DIY how-to on how to write your memoir.
Right. So anyway, we'll have more things that we'll talk about next episode that pertain to a lot of this stuff that we've been talking about. But that's it in a nutshell, Don.
It is.
I know you wanted to close out the show with something else you had touched your heart.
A country music legend was lost last Friday. Don Williams passed away. And one of the silkiest, smoothest voices in American country music, and Don was a legend in country music, and when you hear his voice, you know that you were being entertained. So with that, we're going to just take a few seconds of I Believe in You and go out on that. Good night, folks.
Good night, folks.
stars, organic food and foreign cars. I don't believe the price of gold, the certainty of growing old, that right is right and left is wrong, that north and south can't get along, that east is east and west is west, and being first is always best. But I believe in love. I believe in babies. I believe in mom and dad. And I believe. Don't.